James chapter 4, verse number 14, the Bible says this, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanishes away." If you'll listen, I'm going to read another verse to you. You don't have to turn to it. It's from Luke chapter 15, verse 13. It is the story of the prodigal son. The Bible says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living." Let's pray. Father, bless us now. Lord, the sermon today is so practical, but I think it will make an impact on our everyday lives in a powerful way. Bless as I speak. May I speak in thy power, but might we perceive, listen, hear, and think during this sermon in the power of the Holy Spirit, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've called the sermon this morning. It's entitled Life Wasters. Life Wasters. Earlier, you heard these words. It says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." Folks, our lives, they come and go. Now, you younger people, this will be hard for you to understand, and those of us that have a few years on us, back when we were your age, we didn't understand it. But I don't know about some of you, but me, I'm now looking, I'm closer to the finish line than the beginning and the starting line, and I think about my life, it's past. And days pass quickly. When I was four, if I was told to sit on the couch for a couple of minutes, it seemed like days. Now, boy, a day goes just like that. I'm thinking, where'd the weeks go? Where'd the years go? It's a part of life. But our lives, they come and go. They vanish quickly. I got to thinking about the story of the prodigal son. And we, most of you know the story. A young man, basically, he rebels. He leaves mom and dad. He asks for his inheritance. He goes out, and the Bible says that he wasted his substance, or he wasted what his parents gave him. He wasted something with the way he was living. You know, what I think he wasted most was that part of his life. That was the great waste. Life is a valuable thing. We should be careful not to waste it. Let me read some scripture to you. Life is short. The Bible says in Psalm 89:47, "Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain?" The psalmist was saying, my life, it's been short. You say, was the psalmist passing away at 35? No, he's probably in his 80s or 90s, but he said, my life just seems short. In 1 Corinthians 7:29, it says, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none." And the issue here, he said, our time is short. Life is short. Life, it seems like it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. David said in Psalm 37:25, "I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." But David said, "I remember when I was young, and all of a sudden now I'm old, and I've watched my life fleet away." Let me explain something to you. Your time is your life. If someone gives you of their time, they are virtually giving you part of their life. If you give me 20 minutes of your time, you in essence have given me 20 minutes of your life. Hey, and it's a gift. You can't replace it. You can't give it back. Once your life or time has been given, it's given. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 5, "A wise man's heart discerneth time." Now, folks, if you and I want to be wise, we've got to learn. The word discern is talking about we evaluate, we analyze, we think. Hey, a wise man learns how to use his time wisely. Why? Your time is your life. You only get so much of it. So you ought to learn to use it right. We waste a lot of time in our country. Meaning we waste a lot of life in our country. I think we should make our lives count. Meaning that we need to make our time count. You've heard it said, life is short, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. There are some things in life that are bad, and they're just bad and bad uses of our time. But wait a minute, there are other things in life that are not necessarily bad, but they're still not a good use of your time. In other words, folks, there are some bad things that we should not do because they're bad things, so they're bad things that are a bad waste of our time. But yet there are other things that are not necessarily bad, but in a way they're a bad use of our time. You say, why? Because there are better things we could do. This sermon is really not all about bad things. It's primarily about your life and how you use your time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16 uses these words, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Folks, in evil days, we need to use our time well. We need to use our time. Hey, look, if Jesus is coming again, and well, I think we all see that the signs of the times are everywhere. I mean, look, Jesus is coming. I don't know when, it may be today, but you know what you and I better do? If we're living in what they would call the last days, and if we see Jesus coming on the horizon, we better stay busy for Jesus Christ. I looked up some statistics. The average working person spends less than 2 minutes per day in meaningful conversation with their spouse. In other words, it's almost like a hotel. Check in, check out. We don't look into one another's eyes and have a conversation that is meaningful and intimate. Some say that parents only spend about 30 to 45 seconds actually talking with their children where they connect. Well, I know you say, pick up your shoes, brush your teeth. I'm talking about where you connected with your child. Y'all know what I mean by connect? We all slow down long enough to look at them and them look at you, and you care about each other, and you transfer emotion and words. Get this. 20% of the average workday is wasted in America. Employees have figured out that if it's an 8-hour workday, if they can get 6 hours out of their employee, they're lucky. Why? Because they waste the other 2 hours. Doing what? Daydream. Americans average, listen, Americans average looking at advertisements 61 minutes a day. Hey, that fuels their economy. Facebook users, 13.9 billion minutes in the month of April 2016. Let me say it again. 13.9 billion minutes on Facebook from the first day of April to the end of April. We could have turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ with that 13.9 billion minutes if I could have gotten them all to come soul winning in the month of April. We would have fixed the problems in our country. MySpace users, the month of April, 4.9 billion minutes in 1 month on MySpace. Almost 5 billion videos are watched on YouTube every day. 5 billion a day. And you know, here's what everybody tells me. I didn't have time. I couldn't come soul winning. I couldn't get in church. I couldn't come back to church. Didn't have time. No, it's not that we don't have time. So we don't use our time right. Ladies, please be merciful. In the average woman's life, she will have spent 362 days, 24 hours a day, choosing what to wear. Am I telling it right? Did we experience it this morning? Thank you, Brother Nofsinger. I told Mrs. Owens that today, and she went and changed her top. We were just talking, and she said, oh, that's incredible. I come out just 3 minutes later, and she'd changed her top. You say, and when I looked at it, I thought, well, I wonder why. Why? And they said, because of the abundance of clothes the American people have. and because of the indecisiveness of the American people. Can I tell you something that would sharpen your decisiveness? Let the Holy Spirit of God help you. I'm not talking about that in regard to clothing. I'm just talking about the fact that we in America, we've turned into time wasters. 65% of American homes are so unorganized, they are unorganized to the point that they average 30 minutes a day looking for misplaced items such as keys. Our bills, our clothes, our shoes, and in some cases, our children. That's 9 million hours per year in the United States of America because of the disarray in our home, because we don't set up a system, we don't have things cleaned and organized, so we're looking for what we need to survive. That's a lot of wasted time. Did you know that they ran a country before they had a smartphone and before they had an internet? They ran a country. Well, that's going to help us. People are less productive today than what they were in the past because people have less character today than what they had in the past. Your smartphone, your internet will not take the place of your personal character development, and that is proper use of your time. Now, that's the introduction. I'm going to give you some things. And this isn't a sermon about bad things. This is a sermon about our using our time wisely, which is virtually you and I then spending our life. For instance, be careful. You could misuse a part of your life with your television, your DVDs, your Netflix. Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Let me give you some statistics about all the TV, Netflix, DVD watching. The average American spends 4 hours a day doing that one thing. 28 hours per week on those television, DVDs, Netflix. That's 2 months of nonstop TV every year. That's 2 months a year of nothing but that. You say, I don't have time to clean my house. I can't come to church on Wednesday night. For a 65-year-old, they will have spent 9 years of nonstop TV or DVD viewing in their lifetime. The average child watches 1,688 minutes of television, DVD, or Netflix a week. And then they can't pass their classes. I didn't have time to study. We have time. And, you know, I'm not saying, notice I didn't say a thing about bad stuff on television. That's another sermon in itself. 30-second TV commercials. You could watch, the average person will get 20,000 of them a year. You know how often they pop those commercials on? It's almost like you don't have any television shows anymore. We're going to break from this commercial to take you back to the show for a moment. Am I right? Our children, by the time they're 18, will watch 200,000 violent crimes committed before their eyes. Now, I am not attacking the bad. I'm just saying, what about your time? What about your life? There are people in here, you needed to have a date. Your marriage was desperate for a date. Well, I don't have time. I don't know. Do you have time? People in here needed some quality time with your kids. There are people in here who needed to come back to church every once in a while. I don't have time. Maybe unplug your television for a month. You say, what? I go into withdrawals. Yeah. I'm just talking to you about your life, wasting your life. Secondly, total different approach. I think we can waste our lives by maybe not doing what we do right the first time we do it. Luke chapter 14, verse 28 says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it?" Now, basically, God is saying here, when you go into a project, sit down and plan that project, and make sure you get everything in order for that project. And if you would do that, you could do that project, and you could do it right, and you could do it right the first time. Let me tell you some areas, for instance, that I think if you learn how to do what you do and do it right the first time, you would save yourself some of your life. I've wasted a chunk of my life not doing it right the first time, then realizing it needed to be corrected or done right, so I had to go back and redo it. For instance, could I recommend that you go ahead and pass your classes educationally, pass them the first time? Then you don't have to take them again. What a waste of life. You gave a whole semester to take a class, and you didn't give your best at it, so you didn't pass it. Now you have to take it again. What have you done? You've wasted your life. You've wasted that part of you. Pass the test the first time. Projects around your house. If you do it right the first time, you don't have to redo it later. So you say, what do? Slow down, take the time, organize it, plan it, troubleshoot. Your responsibilities. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Figure it out. Work assignments. Hey, at work, I wonder how many bosses and companies lose money constantly because they give an employee a job and they don't do it right the first time. So the boss has to come back through and we've got to tear it apart and do it over again. If you work for someone, do it right the first time. It's going to save you time and it's going to save people money. Don't waste your time. Don't waste their time. We waste a lot of time having to redo what could have been done right in the first place. We waste a lot of money that way. Do it right. I have a little motto. It is this: plan your work, work your plan. Don't get sidetracked. Do it right the first time. So, again, I am just saying, God gave us a life. We've only got so much of it to live. I think we ought to be careful how we live it, because how we spend our time is how we're spending our life. We watch TV, DVD, Netflix. We get ourselves deeply involved, and then we say we don't have time. When we do have time, we may be misspending our time. If we don't do it right the first time and we have to redo things, we've set ourselves back. And therefore, again, we've wasted time. Number three, the video gaming and the computer games of this generation, people are wasting time by the thousands and thousands of hours. Now, I'm not saying they're all bad. I could preach sermons about all the nudity and the rock and roll and all the trash that's in them, all the murder and everything. That's not the purpose of this sermon. I'm just saying we spend so much time doing that. It's because of our smartphones, our PlayStations, our tablets. You know, I'm really going to tell on myself. Used to, if I wanted to play a video game, I had to go down to the arcade. I had to take a quarter out of my pocket and stick it in the pinball machine. Y'all, the pinball machine, that's something you go to the museum to see. Some of you parents, some of you, stay with me now. Don't leave me up here like I'm the old goat here. You know what I mean. But you know what? Today, you've got an arcade right there. And I don't think they're all bad. I don't mind somebody playing some games and things like that. And that's not the issue today. I'm not talking about whether you're playing a good game or a bad game. I'm talking about the fact that you didn't do your housework, or you didn't get to work on time, or you didn't clean the yard, or you didn't get the laundry done, or you didn't come to church, and you can't get on the bus route because you're so busy. Busy. Let me give you some stats on, if you're really serious, you call yourself a gamer. Some of you call yourself a gamer, but you're not. But that's what you think you are. The average video gamer in the United States of America spends 23.4 hours playing games. I'm talking about on their smartphone, their PlayStation, on a tablet, on their laptop, on their computer. Most adult gamers have been playing for the last 12 to 13 years. And so if some of you parents, you're saying, yeah, them teenagers, the biggest problem are people between the ages of 20 and 35. They're upsetting the economy in the United States of America because they're sitting at their desk playing with their games instead of producing for the boss. Young people have low grades in school, but they're achieving high levels in the gaming world. And so some of you understand something about that. Be all right, except for the hardworking American citizens, when you flunk out of school and we got to support you on the welfare system, and you're going to laugh about it while everybody else has to carry you because you can't get a job. That's funny. Yeah, it's funny because somebody else is going to carry you in life. Suddenly it's not as funny, is it? Especially the way I put it. Hey, listen, we waste a lot of time that way. They're addictive. And now we have a generation of people that are lethargic physically from just sitting around. They don't know how to work. They don't know how to apply themselves. They don't know how to socially interact. But and again, I'm not attacking the video games, although there's some crummy stuff out there. But I'm just saying, why are we wasting so much time doing that? So we waste our time with television, DVDs, Netflix. We waste our time in not doing what we do right in the first place, so it's got to be redone. We waste our time with video games or computer games. Then we waste our time on the internet. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. I am one that I think about the internet much like someone, like I do about a gun. I don't think guns are bad. I think people do bad. I don't think that everything on the internet is bad. I think people are bad, though. Now, let me give you some statistics on internet usage. In the United States of America, in 2016, 287 million people were regularly using the internet. 23% of children, 23% of children aged 3 to 5 are online regularly. 79.5% of Americans use the internet, much of which is unproductive usage. Chat rooms, they still call it surfing the web, in other words, shopping and running around on the web. That's basically what it is. Now, I've done that before, and it's kind of neat once you get started. It's like you can go everywhere and see everything. And, I mean, all you got to do is talk. I can talk to my iPad and say, take me, and I'm gone. I mean, it's shooting stuff at me right and left. And I'm like, wow, this is really neat. I didn't even have to go out. Didn't have to sit at the bench at Walmart and wait for the wife. I mean, I'm telling you, the gaming, the chat rooms, the surfing the web, the blogging, the hogging, the tweeting, and all of that. I'm not telling you that everything that goes on there is bad. I am telling you, there are some of you, you have so many things that need done in your life, but that's what you're doing. Some of you need to balance your checkbook. Now, wait there for a second. But you're busy. The internet will eat up so much of your time. I think the internet is a marvelous tool. I also think that a marvelous tool in the hand of someone that will not control themselves becomes self-destructive. Okay, let's go on to something else. I think we're wasting our life with the television, the DVDs, the Netflix. I think we waste our life by not doing things right the first time. We waste our life with all the video gaming. We waste our life with the internet. I think we waste our life sometimes with sleep. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 5, it says, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. A newborn baby, will sleep about 17 hours each day. Older children will get 9 to 10 hours of sleep. Adults and your older teenagers will make it normally on about 7 hours of sleep. And then as you grow older, you might need a little more sleep. Now, there is a right amount of sleep that everybody needs. But I would recommend to everybody that you find out what that amount of sleep is. Because one of the ways that people waste their life is by sleeping more than what they need to sleep. People sleep to hide from responsibility. People sleep to hide from depression. Christians are supposed to handle that a different way. People sleep. I think we sleep in America a lot because we eat our bodies virtually into a coma. We sleep when we could study. We sleep when we could work. We sleep when we could pray. The average person in our church, especially the adults, are hardworking people, and I don't think you're getting too much sleep. But just in case you need to be told, if you're not careful, you'll sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep and sleep, and you won't get anything done in life. You say, well, you know, I didn't do thus and so because I'm tired. I have to tell you something. If I had a nickel for every time I had to do something when I was tired, I'd be a millionaire. You don't get the impression you have to be 100% rested before you can do anything. The world would stop rotating if that were the case. Sometimes you work when you're tired. That's just the way it is. But we say, I don't have enough time. Sometimes I don't think we use our time right. Let me go on. This next one will be pleasant. Shopping. Man, can we waste a lot of time shopping. Let me simply say a couple of things. We have lost sight of the difference between two words. Wants, W-A-N-T-S, and needs. N-E-E-D-S. You have turned your wants into needs. We, according to the Bible, having food and raiment, are to be therewith content. The word content comes from two words, contento. It means I can hold it together. If I've got enough food in my belly to keep me alive, I got clothing so I'm not embarrassingly naked, and I'm supposed to be okay. Now, but we're not satisfied with that in America. Let me help you financially. Dad got paid every 2 weeks a paycheck. We went to the grocery store one time every 2 weeks. Today, you go two times a day. Think about it. We're just engulfed in convenience, and I don't have to organize. I've got so much money and so much time, I'll just go, and then I'll go again, and then I'll go again, and then I'll go again, and I'll go again. And you want to do it that way, that's fine. But I'll tell you something. If some of you would listen to me, I could help you find the time so you could come soul winning someday. You could have a ministry, or you could be faithful to church. I'm just too busy. My life is too busy. Well, let's take some things out of it that are unnecessary. Window shopping. I'm going to guess everybody here has all the windows you need. We waste time that way. We waste money that way. Online, in catalogs. Hey, and I realize Mrs. Owens and I can, we can go to the mall and walk around and look around, and we do it as a date. I'm not trying to take that away from anybody. I am telling you, though, there are people that are addicted to nothing but being online shopping all the time and out and about and just all the time somewhere, shopping somewhere. And it's just, how about your time? Just your time. It might be good that maybe your child get a homemade meal instead of Pop-Tarts and Fruit Loops all the time. Okay, we're going to... I'm leaving that point. How do we waste our life? How do we waste our time? We do it by talking on the phone and our texting. Proverbs 14:23, it says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The television is so damaging, but probably now maybe second or equal to just the telephone. 64% of Americans now have smartphones. People waste a lot of time with the phones. Cell phone usage in our country is just off the charts now. It is said the average American spends 4.7 hours using their phone in one way or another every day. the average American, 4.7 hours either talking, texting, or playing with their phone like a computer. Well, picture this. 4.7 hours a day with that phone up to your ear in your face. Well, if you're going to sleep for 8, let's see. I guess that gives me 16 hours if I slept for 8, and then I've got 16 hours left. I'm going to spend 4.7 of those hours on my phone. You really don't have, no wonder you can't bathe. You didn't have time to take a shower. Or maybe you have a waterproof phone, so you can do both. The time that we waste, and much of it is unimportant, unnecessary. If we took everybody's phone and we looked at everything that we text and everything that we said and you really got down to it, how much of it was really important? Hey, and just so you all know, having a physical conversation with your husband or wife or your child is far more important than texting them something. So you all know, there are sometimes texting is not right. There's a propriety. Sometimes you need to look at someone face to face. Some of you are cowards. You make all your apologies like this. I am really sorry and I really mean it. Yeah, you really meant it. People need to see the compassion in your eyes and see the tears in your eyes, if you had them. Because we're basically taking, we're taking proper emotion out of everything and becoming zombies with letting the computers and everything do all of our work for us. But hey, I'm just telling you, we're on the phone, we're texting, we're calling. We do it while we're fixing the car, while we're cleaning the house. And hey, I'm not telling you everything that's being done is bad. I'm just telling you, think of how much time you waste. America might have been better off when every phone had a cord. You could work. Remember back when you could work? I wonder how many times. I bet in the next generation, everybody's going to have bad elbows. You say, from what? This, just constantly. Just constantly. And I'm not against you having a cell phone. I think cell phones are a great blessing. What a wonderful thing. But I'm just telling you, it's the amount of time that we waste. Let me give you one more point. We'll be done. You'll be glad. The amount of time that we spend worrying and fretting and creating depression in our life. Psalm 37:1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. Psalm 37:8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise. Folks, first of all, worry solves nothing. Worry eats up your time. Worry eats up your emotions. Worry eats up your energy. And so you understand it. Your worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is a time waster. You know how many people, they'll just sit and worry, and they'll work themselves into a tizzy. They can't go to work. They can't. There are people under the sound of my voice. You didn't clean your house because you were so worried. You know what? Worry and clean at the same time. I just can't. Yes, you can. Who's going to help me? Have you ever considered God? Worry's a time waster. It's a life waster. People sit around and worry about things that they have. Hey, if you don't have any control over it, what good did it do for you to, you all understand the word stew? You stew on it? You know, when I face something I can't solve, I say to myself, I could sit here and make myself sick over it. I'll go to work. You know what the work does? It gets my mind off of what I couldn't solve anyway, so I got something done. I have watched people that they start to go into a, and they start to, okay. Had a couple, they started to go into a marital struggle. And I said to them, I said, folks, what you got to do though is, ma'am, you got to keep on being a mom and you got to keep on working around the house. I said, sure, you got to go to work. You know what? He got so upset, started calling into work constantly. Went to the house to visit. It was a wreck. The kids were a mess.
I told him,
you're not going to fix anything by worrying. Go to work. 3 weeks later, he said, I can't pay my bills. I said, I told you to go to work. But you stayed home to do this. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of you. I've worried before. I understand it. But I am trying to tell you, worrying will waste your life. It'll eat you up. It'll drain you of your energy. Say, what do? Get up and go to work anyway and clean the house anyway. But we actually get ourselves to the point where we worry, we fret. And if you get yourself into a depression, here's what you'll do emotionally. Solving my life's problems. Some of you know exactly what I'm saying when I'm talking to you about the dark hole that you put yourself in because you worry and you fret long enough that you go in there to where you don't think there are any solutions and there's no way out. And as a result of it, the productivity of life is minimized ridiculously. So you say, well, I finally snapped out of it. Yeah, and then you get depressed because of how far behind you are because you went there. So, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. The prodigal son wasted something. I think he wasted a few bucks. Maybe mama gave him a bunch of food when he left town, and he wasted that. I don't know what he did, but I can tell you what he wasted most. He wasted his life. Just don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. You'll feel better when you get things done. People of true character always do. Parents, help your children to understand scheduling their lives and proper time usage. They're not going to make it in the workforce if they don't learn that. That somebody's going to have to carry them the rest of their lives. Let's not waste our lives. If you're here today and you've never been saved, there is an eternity that you will face. Whatever you do, don't waste your life. If you're unsaved and you die and go to hell, you will spend eternity with a wasted life. Get born again. Jesus can get involved and help you on this globe to live your life productively. Hey, but in the life to come, let's use that life to glorify God in heaven. Don't waste your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, let me ask about the subject of salvation. If you died today, do you know for a fact that you'd go to heaven? If today you faced eternity, have you trusted Christ? Are you going to heaven? If you say, I don't know about that, I'm not sure about that, then let me pray for you. Who here would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not born again. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Will you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I think every last one of us, if we examined our lives, we took the sermon of this morning, I think every one of us, there's probably areas where we use time and we don't use it wisely. There are people in here, you say, I just don't have time to pray. But what do you have time for? Think about it. What's getting time, but you don't have time to pray? You don't have time to read your Bible. But what do you have time for? I'll bow my head, I'll close my eyes. But the question is this, who here could raise your hand to God and say, God, I think I need to use my life a little wiser in some areas. I don't want to waste my life. God, help me to shore up the use of my days, my time, my hours. And would you raise your hand and let God see it and say, God, I could work on this. I need this challenge in my life. You may put that hand down. We're going to have an altar call. I realize I've not preached a camp meeting style sermon. We're not swinging from the chandeliers. But I'll tell you, probably down to earth and right where we all live, we need to be productive with our lives. Some of us need to put the good things in, maybe eliminate some of those time wasters. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and say, God, you know what? I need help with my schedule. I need help to use my time a little wiser. Maybe it's not that you're doing something bad. Maybe you're not doing something wise. I meet people all the time, and it is not a matter of they are spending their money on sinful things. Sometimes they're just not spending their money on the best thing. And we can do the same thing with our time. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me to use my time better. I'm going to say that there's some possibility that if there are things you ought to be doing for God, Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, maybe getting involved in the ministry, I'm going to say there's some chance if you don't do those things, but you have time for video game, internet, shopping and playing and so many other areas, I'm going to guess God may feel like you love those things more than you love Him. And I don't think God's trying to get you to take all of that stuff out of your life. He'd just like to see that those things aren't in first place in your life, or they don't come before Him. This is the last time through the song. We'll read some names and then we'll be on our way. If you need a moment at the altar, you come.